From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the entire program today, we're revisiting our January conversation about Illinois' new law on assault weapons. It's known formally as the Protect Illinois Communities Act. When it became law back in January, it made Illinois the 9th state in the country to have what's been described as a ban on assault weapons. But there are nuances to that broad description. More specifically, it bans the sale of these weapons, limits the size of magazines to 15 rounds for handguns and 10 for long guns, and makes illegal switches to convert firearms into rapid-fire devices. But, and this is a big caveat, those who already have assault weapons can keep them, but they're required to register certain weapons and accessories with the Illinois State Police. As quickly as the Protect Illinois Communities Act became law, it came under attack by gun rights advocates, who say it's an unconstitutional overreach that penalizes law-abiding gun owners. Beyond that, a majority of sheriffs across the state have come out and said they will not enforce the ban. It's on hold in some parts of the state because of court challenges. In mid-February, a federal judge declined to block the ban, but there are other cases still making their way through the system. We asked members of our texting group about the law. Sue in Elgin said she's overjoyed, adding, "It's important that Illinois stands up to the NRA and the falsehoods it spreads." But Teresa in Crystal Lake said people can obtain illegal military-style rifles somewhere else in the U.S. We also got a voicemail from Joe.
I'm still always surprised by the United States of America and guns. Why do we still have this gun mentality that everyone needs an assault rifle? Makes no sense. The police officers, the sheriffs ought to do their job, which is to follow the law. The law was passed by the legislature.
We started our program with a conversation among supporters of the law. Later on, we'll hear from opponents of the assault weapons ban on why they think it's unconstitutional. All right, here now is the first part of our program on the Illinois assault weapons ban. Of course, this legislation was in part a response to the shooting that took place in Highland Park during last year's Independence Day parade. The suspect there used an AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle, allegedly, killing 7 people with dozens more wounded. Among the witnesses to the Highland Park massacre was Democratic State Representative Bob Morgan of Deerfield. His district runs along Lake Michigan from the Chicago Botanic Gardens to Naval Station Great Lakes. It includes the community of Highland Park. He was one of the chief co-sponsors of the assault weapons law and joins us now to talk about it and the legal hurdles it's facing. Representative Morgan, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Also with us is Kathleen Sances, President and CEO of the Gun Violence Prevention Political Action Committee, also known as GPAC. Kathleen, welcome to the 21st Show to you as well.
Good morning, and thanks for having me on.
And also Thomas Dart, the Sheriff of Cook County. He has expressed his support for the assault weapons law, unlike many other sheriffs in Illinois. Sheriff Dart, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Representative Morgan, I want to begin with you. Talk more about how this law came about.
Well, the state of Illinois has talked about banning assault weapons for decades, and also other firearm-related laws so that we have less gun deaths in Illinois. So in some ways, this legislation was really the final product of years and years of discussions and debates and legislative proposals from Democrats and Republicans, going back to Republican Governor Jim Edgar. This particular working group that we pulled together, as you noted, right after the Highland Park 4th of July shooting, was designed to see what can we do short-term and long-term to try and reduce some of the gun violence. There's so many things that need to be done, some of which we've already done, banning ghost guns, increasing our investment in mental health funding, and making sure resources are available there. And the list goes on and on and on. But real true firearm safety and reform measures are things that I think the legislature has punted on for a long time. And we spent the last 6 months with a group of individuals, first with our working group, and then within several legislative committees, and a very public discussion about what are the things we can and should do, which resulted in the Protect Illinois Communities Act that the governor signed a few weeks ago.
Sheriff Dart, as you know, many of your fellow sheriffs oppose this law. Why do you support it?
Well, you know, as Bob had referenced earlier, I was in the legislature back in the 90s, and I actually introduced, I believe, the first assault weapon ban, probably early mid-90s or something like that. It didn't go anywhere. But so this is an issue that I have been interested in for many years. But the reality of it is that there's no one who's serious about law enforcement, no one serious about stopping violence, who doesn't believe we have to do multiple things, that no one thing we're doing is going to end any of this. This is horrible. We're around the world. People look at us, scratch their heads, and cannot figure out for the life of them why it is that we accept all of the gun deaths that we have in this country. They can't understand us. And so for us to get to the point where we should have a people viewing us as a responsible country, we have to do multiple things to get back there. So this is one thing that can be helpful. There's numerous other things that can be helpful, but there's no getting around, from law enforcement standpoint, there's no getting around like the numbers. And the numbers are stark. We have never, ever seen the amount of assault weapons, the high capacity magazines on the streets of bad people, you know, the criminals. We've never seen so much. And they were all legally purchased at one time. They don't fall from the sky. And so these weapons here cause so much damage and death in our communities. This needs to be done, and people should understand that it was being crafted all along with the notion that, you know, legitimate gun owners should have the right to go to their ranges, should be able to collect, and that there's ways to do all the above. But at some point, we have to get serious about these deaths and stop with the normal tropes that keep spewing out of people while we look at another decade and another decade of doing nothing to move the needle. But I just can't say enough to you. The data shows that these have become common weapons for the criminals. Assault weapons, extended magazines. This is their common fare. And how we could sit there knowing all that and do literally nothing about it. And then people will roll out, well, you just arrest everybody. Oh yeah, because that's really easy. And, you know, lock everybody up for a billion years. You know, we get all this all the time. None of it has ever changed, moved dials. This will help. Will it end all of this? It won't end all of this, but it'll make things better.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking in the entire program today about the Illinois' new law on assault weapons. For the first part of the show, we're hearing from people who support the law, including, you just heard there, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, also State Representative Bob Morgan of Deerfield, and Kathleen Sanchez, President and CEO of the Gun Violence Prevention Political Action Committee, or GPAC. Later in the program, we will be hearing from people who oppose the gun law in favor of a more expansive view of gun rights in Illinois. But Kathleen Sanchez, talk about GPAC's support for this law. What do you like in it? What compromises had to be made in order to get it to pass?
This is a really strong law. It, you know, thank you to Rep. Morgan and all his colleagues for, like you said, this took months and months of work to get here. And we think it's strong, and we think that our Attorney General is going to vigorously be able to defend it. I don't think it takes a lawyer to understand what's happening here with all the lawsuits. This is purely a disinformation campaign that's mounted by the gun lobby. The lawsuits, like the sheriffs who are refusing to do their jobs, it's nothing more than an effort by the gun lobby to push back on these efforts to keep the people of Illinois safe. And let's remember that last year, just in 2022, Illinois witnessed nearly 60 mass shootings. So 4 more people shot in one incident. And we have to ask ourselves, why would anyone stand against legislation that would help curb this violence?
I want to talk more about the legal fight. So, Representative Morgan, how much was that a part of the working group discussions? What did you anticipate the pushback that you're seeing now?
Well, I think that a number of organizations were very clear that no matter what we passed, they're going to sue. one of those witnesses is on with us today. And, you know, a number of organizations also made that very clear that they didn't want to negotiate. They just wanted to sue. And I think that in light of some of the Supreme Court decisions over the last few years, it really is the last vestige of their efforts to combat these kinds of gun safety legislation packages, which is just go to the courts and try and sue and stop them. So we certainly expected litigation. That is, of course, playing out. So I don't think that's a surprise to anyone. I think that ultimately the legislature takes a lot of actions where people disagree. And at the end of the day, it's our job to try and pass legislation that helps the state of Illinois, that keeps us safe. And that's what we endeavor to do. And I think that's what we achieved.
Well, we will hear from some of the people who are supporting those lawsuits later in the program. But what, in your view, why is this law constitutional? Why does it not run afoul of, you know, the very broad reading that we've seen from the U.S. Supreme Court of the right to keep and bear arms in the Second Amendment?
Well, if you read some of the news stories and the lawsuits, there's a kitchen sink effort going on right now. There are federal court lawsuits dealing with Second Amendment. There are state court lawsuits saying that we didn't follow the legislative process to pass a bill. These are going to play out in the courts. But at the end of the day, this legislation does a lot of things. The press talks a lot, and the news stories talk a lot about the banning on sale of assault weapons. But it also deals with things like gun trafficking across state lines, deals with things like rapid fire devices, auto sears. They're turning ordinary handguns into fully automatic weapons. We deal with red flag laws. So there are a lot of elements of this legislation that I think most people, in fact, including the courts, are going to say are not really controversial in any way. So I'm not going to really conjecture about what the courts are going to do on any of this, other than to say there's a lot of elements in this legislation, some of which is effective immediately, but other parts such as in getting an endorsement of these legacy firearms, they have a year for implementation. So I think this is going to play out. I mean, again, we knew there were going to be lawsuits, but the ban on sales, the closing the front door, that was really important in that a lot of other states have given a bigger runway before they close off the sale of these really dangerous weapons. And what happens is for months or years, you have a run on the guns. You have hundreds of thousands of new weapons being sold. And that was one of the really important things about having an immediate effective date banning the future sale.
Sheriff Dart, I want to ask you about some of these statements we've heard from sheriffs across the state who say they're not going to either not enforce the law or at least not going to go out of their way to enforce it. What do you think about that?
Well, I have a difficult time understanding it. I mean, we are required by our job to follow the law. There's plenty of ways for us to voice our displeasure with the law. I can tell you within the Safety Act, a lot that passed a year or two ago, a lot of very good things in there, but a couple of things I strongly disagree with. One dealing with home monitoring, where people on home monitoring get 2 days to literally run free without me monitoring them. That's a horrific thing, horrific. Well, it's the law, I have to do it, but I have been articulating loudly my opposition to that, and we've gone to Springfield to have that changed. That's the process. That's how you do things when you disagree with them. It's not up to us to pick and choose and look through and give our version of a constitutional interpretation. Think about that for a second. Most of the people, I'm an attorney, but most of the people that are talking about this are attorneys that have been working in constitutional law forever and know it up, down, and sideways. Most of the sheriffs that we have in our state are really good people, but they're not constitutional lawyers. And so every bill that comes out, they don't have the ability, and nor are they supposed to do a constitutional analysis of that bill, this bill, that one, another one. But if they do not believe it's good for them and their community, then their route is to go down to the legislature and have it overturned, repealed, changed, altered. And so that puzzled me, and it also puzzled me because really the implementation part of this bill hasn't even been rolled out yet. There's been this notion that somehow law enforcement is going to come swinging in through the window and invading people's houses and doing all of these different things. Those type of things haven't even really been discussed to the point of how this is going to be implemented. And more importantly, if you look at the existing laws on our books right now, we have some pretty strong laws in regards to people who have their FOID card revoked because of either a criminal act, domestic violence, mental health issues. Yet tens of thousands of them. In Cook County alone, we have 35,000 people with revoked FOID cards. Revoked. There's no like debate here. It's been revoked. Of that, guess how many of them have turned in or have had their weapons taken away from them? Less than 25%. And so law enforcement, other than myself and I believe now the state police, have never been going to doors and knocking on doors and saying, you who no longer have a right to have guns, you need to turn them in. People aren't even doing that. Okay, so the notion that somehow there is going to be this elaborate dragnet, you know, it was really sort of getting way out in front of things. And so calmer voices need to sit down and say, listen, this is the law. What is it that the implementation calls for? And what will we do? And what do we have the capacity to do? Because it could be a very legitimate concern in some areas where they don't have the ability to do it. And then that's a different issue. Then it's like, okay, state, if you want us to do this, you're going to have to give us some resources to do it. But those are the legitimate concerns to do it. And not to
Sorry to interrupt. We need to take a break. And I'll just say we heard from Charles and Champaign with that very thing in a text message that I'm sure the sheriffs are too busy and will need more resources to enforce such a move. More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're spending our entire program today listening back to our conversation, originally broadcast in January, on Illinois' new assault weapons law and the legal challenges it's facing. We talk with supporters of the law, including Democratic State Representative Bob Morgan. His district includes Highland Park, where there was a terrible mass shooting on Independence Day. And that was one of the catalysts for Democrats to pass this law in Springfield. We also spoke with Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart, who supports the law, and Kathleen Sances, President and CEO of GPAC, the Gun Violence Prevention Political Action Committee. We'll soon hear from opponents of the law, but first, let's pick up where we left off. Let's go to the phones now. On line two, Stephen in Pecatonica, is it? Thanks for calling in.
Yes, just calling to see if I could speak to what the gentleman was discussing in terms of the implementation of the law. It's my understanding that my hometown, Dixon, Illinois, the county seat of Lee County, recently, just this last week, had a demonstration for law enforcement officers showing them what amounted to an armored skid steer that they were being directed or being told that this was going to be used for the implementation of this law. That goes in contrary to what, you know, the gentleman just said. So if I could take my comment off the air.
All right. Thank you for that. A skid steer. I guess that's like a piece of heavy equipment, bulldozer-like thing. Sheriff Dart, are you hearing anything about this?
Absolutely not. I mean, that would be contrary to literally every type of law enforcement doctrine that we have. I would imagine it would be something similar to what I said earlier about going to people who have revoked FOID cards, where you attempt to approach them, knock on the door, and see if they are aware of the law and all these other things. That's been the normal approach that people would take. It would be literally contrary to every law enforcement doctrine I can think of to use something like that.
Kathleen Sances, I can't remember if it was you or one of the other guests who mentioned misinformation from people who are advocating for a broader view of gun rights. Say more about what your perspective is on that.
Sure. And this sheriff touched on this, that nothing in this bill says that we're going to knock on your door and take your existing collection of weapons. And if you do have existing weapons, you have almost a year to get them registered. So I think that's the disinformation we're talking about. There's this whole notion of confiscation is a typical gun lobby talking point. The gun lobby is motivated by the greed of the gun manufacturers who are worried about their profits. And, you know, on the other side, our coalition is a movement of survivors, advocates, policy experts, faith leaders, and youth who are motivated to keep our families and communities safe. And we're going to continue to do so. We're going to stand up and fight against this disinformation.
Kathleen, a number of other states have been able to pass similar legislation. Is Illinois facing a unique level of controversy here, or is this happening across the country?
I think this, again, kind of pushback from the gun lobby is typical. However, I think that in like since 2017, we've been able to exponentially grow supporters of gun safety and gun violence prevention in our state. And we've been able to work with the Illinois General Assembly. I think previously the gun lobby had a control of it, and they no longer do. And now these are desperate attempts to take that power back.
We're coming to the end of our time for this part of the show. Representative Morgan, are you confident that this law will withstand legal scrutiny, even though the U.S. Supreme Court and other courts have been sort of trending in the opposite direction in a number of cases?
You know, as an attorney, I'm well conditioned not to speculate on how judges are going to rule. But I also think there are individuals that are so sure that this is unconstitutional, as Sheriff Dart mentioned, including those who are not lawyers. I think the Supreme Court surprised a lot of people just last week when they refused to take up another challenge to New York's gun laws. And so I really think that there's a new standard. The Supreme Court has to provide a lot more information and clarity about what they're going to do with challenges to laws like this and so many other thousands of other cases that are out there and are percolating about what are we going to do to keep our community safe. So I'm not going to speculate on the Supreme Court, but I am going to say we all have a choice, and we could just throw our hands up and say gun violence is just going to happen, and we're going to have mass shootings every day and every weekend all over the country, and that's just the way it has to be. Or we can really stand up and say enough is enough. We know the root causes of this violence. We know what weapons and the access to illegal weapons are causing, and we're going to do something about it. And I think the state of Illinois chose the latter, and that's going to continue.
State Representative Bob Morgan, Kathleen Sances from GPAC, and Sheriff Tom Dart, thank you so much for being with us to share your perspectives today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.